The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening, wherever you are on our lovely planet. I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia.
And collectively, that makes us the Kanes.
That's right.
And we finish each other's sentences.
And today's, yes, we do. So when we do...
Please include it.
And don't think that we're involved in the...
Gender war.
Gender war.
Bum, 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 bum,
gender,
bum.
Gender war. That's the name of today's show, Gender War.
It is. Are you sure?
I am very sure.
Oh, I love you. You are very sure. That's excellent.
This sounds a little bit like my cousin Vinny. Anyway, we're going to talk about enlightenment.
And via the gender war.
The gender war and its effect on enlightenment.
Guess what? In case you haven't figured it out, it's okay to
have fun.
Yep, gotta have
it. I said it too soon. We should have said it together. Simo speak.
I kind of liked you rushing ahead.
Okay.
It was fun.
Cutting you off?
It was excellent.
This doesn't go well for the people who are proponents of the gender war.
I know. So let's talk about listening.
Yeah, let's talk about listening.
Do you know that in order to listen, you have to drop what you're about to say?
Yeah, I do.
Because when Shia finished my sentence, I finished his, it was very cool because I kind of dropped what I had to say, and the next thing you know, we're on to the next thing.
Well, you know, one of the things that gets in the way of people's actually hearing what another person has to say are their agendas,
mm-hmm.
whether they be known agendas or unaware agendas. So if you have an unaware agenda, like you're at war with either of the sexes, whether it be men or women, if you're locked in the gender war, then you don't listen to those people. Not because you don't want to, but you can't because the agenda holds sway over your information as it comes in, because you're sorting for the... to hear it from a woman if you're a woman, or if you're a man if you're a man, and you can't hear it from the other.
And occasionally it's switched. If you're you've been enrolled in the gender war as a boy by your mother or as a girl by your father, then you will be not listening to individuals that are your own sex. So me as a girl won't listen to now as a woman, but I would not listen as well to other women, and Shia would not listen as well to other men if we were had been conscripted into the gender war that way.
Okay, so then you have most of us listen through agreeing and disagreeing. So we hear what's being said, and we simultaneously check to see whether it agrees or disagrees with our worldview, our point of view, the way we look at life. And if it agrees with it, we say, oh, yes, I know that.
And the other thing that's likely to happen, particularly as we're talking about this subject today, is as we talk about, oh, if you were conscripted into the gender war by one or the other of your parents, you are likely to now go do a little fact-checking in your own mind. You'll go back and see what your lists of memories are. Thank goodness we did Memories Home of the Whopper, but you'll go back and take a look and see whether or not your parents were part of the gender war or how the information applies to you. You don't have to apply any of this today. You simply have to listen to what we're saying, what our callers are saying from each of our perspectives.
Now, in order to truly listen, you have to really have listening be your primary focus at the time. So if you're filing your nails, or if you're playing with your keyboard looking at emails or Twittering or texting or whatever the people do today. I mean,
people do a lot of things today.
Whilst listening, see if you can curb the desire, hold that in abeyance, and actually listen to what's being said, to hear what's being said, because, interestingly enough, that will pull you into the current moment of your life, which is right now. Well, that was a good snap.
That was.
And that's all it takes to become enlightened, really, because you sync up with your universe in that instant. That's where transformation lives, in the current moment of your life. And so what we're doing on this show, mostly, if you actually listen, is pulling you into the current moment so you can train yourself to live in the current moment rather than worry about or work on what isn't.
Let's talk, as we often do at the top of the show, about the three principles of instantaneous transformation. I really can see how these three ideas will apply in a way that will support you in unraveling being an unwitting soldier in the gender war. The first is, anything you resist, it persists, it grows stronger, it dominates your life. Another word for resist is judge. So if you judge that you have attitudes about men or attitudes about women, and you judge them, you think of them as bad.
Or good.
They will grow stronger and dominate your life. Second principle is this. You can only be exactly as you are right now. So where are you? Are you sitting in a car? Are you sitting at a desk? Are you walking down the street listening to this on a headset? Are you in front of your computer? You can only be exactly where you are in any given moment of time. You can't be any different.
Moment of now, because, you know, now is actually outside of time.
That's true.
It really is hard to talk about. Second principle is, you can only be exactly as you are in the current moment, and that's the way it goes. Oh, and that means you could have only been the way you were in any given moment of your life, and if you try to change the way you are right now, you discover that my fingers snapped before you could do anything to change anything. So your life is an unfolding moment to moment, moment to moment to moment, and it can only be moments of now that are immutable and unchangeable. And paradoxically, life keeps changing moment to moment as well.
Third principle, anything you allow to be.
Exactly as it is. Allow is the word.
Not accept. Okay, I accept it. Except is like a grudge match.
No, I don't want it, but okay, I'll accept it. I'll be a doormat to it.
It's no in a pretty dress.
Right.
Or a nice tie or something.
So anything that you allow to be exactly as it is, without judging it, good, bad, right, wrong, none of that, just seeing it as it is, completes itself in that moment and is gone.
So, as we're looking at the gender war, I'm sure you know what we're talking about. Take a look on television. Watch a commercial. In the commercial, oftentimes to sell products, manufacturers play upon the gender war. There was recently a whole campaign about which way to put the toilet paper roll, whether you put it with the roll going, feeding from underneath the roll or over top of the roll. And it was on television, it was on radio, and it was couples arguing which way to do it. And, of course, each gender knew that their way was right, and there was a lot of eye-rolling going on and a lot of attitude. You know how they are. We've been conscripted into the war.
See, our approach is not psychological. It's not psychotherapeutic. We don't try to change or fix people. It's anthropological. And an anthropologist studies the way cultures function. So if you look at the gender war as though you were an anthropologist, then you'll see things that will illuminate why you behave the way you do, and in seeing it, that's enough for it to complete itself.
So each of us have internalized standards, conditioning, culture, role models, TV, your schooling. You've been impressed with ideas of what it is to be a man, what it is to be a woman.
I really like it when we go through the checkout in the local ShopRite supermarket here. And if I'm paying, there's some comment. If Ariel's paying,
there's some comment.
If she packs the bags, because she likes to pack the food in the bags, you know, we bring recycle bags, and she likes to pack it. If she's packing, there's a comment about me being making her pack when she really likes to do that. There are all these comments that people have, and frequently they put them on external, you know, and they share their wisdom with us about how we're doing our life wrong because I'm paying and she's packing.
Recently in New York City, we had a meal, and Shai and I both ordered the same thing the same way, and the waitress looked at me and said, "Somebody is following you," and she rolled her eyes, and it was, and I said, "No, actually, I'm following him. He's letting, you know, I'm speaking for the both of us, but I just felt like challenging her a little bit because she gave me that meaningful look, the you know how they are look. Isn't it great that he's, you know, finally getting it together to follow you look? And sometimes you can actually be swayed into reinvigorating the reality that your partner is on an opposing team rather than there's this great possibility of equality.
And, you know, if you get together with your girlfriends or boyfriends, and if you listen to the conversation, a lot of it is bashing the other gender. And that makes for very, very bad relationship material. Because, you know, if you want to have a great relationship, bashing men if you're a woman or women if you're a man does not support you when you go home in finding out those things that are wonderful about your partner.
And if you're dating, it really doesn't support you to being user-friendly, to having dates blossom into something more deep and meaningful. You'll unwittingly be doing things that repel your partner or potential partner rather than making for intimacy. So that's the basics. That's where we're starting today. We're going to be going to a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking more about the gender war. So come on back.
And don't miss
being here.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Women in business today face many challenges in advancing their careers and reaching their goals. There are corporate executives, entrepreneurs, and business owners that have made their mark in business. Now you can learn their secrets and tips. Listen to Women Mean Business as your host, Bonnie Marcus, explores how to thrive in the business environment, navigate the workplace, and climb the corporate ladder. Listen live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel and effectively promote yourself today.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here.
Yes, welcome back to Being Here.
You know, Shia, I was looking in our book, How to Create a Magical Relationship, which, in case you all haven't read it, it won the Nautilus Book Award for Best Book on Men-Women Issues and Best Relationship Book of the Year. It's a brilliant book, if I do say so myself.
Well, you can. In fact, they haven't given a gold medal since 2007 in this category, because they hold our book as the
gold standard.
That's right.
And you know what's interesting is, we were preparing for the show today, I picked it up and I looked at the section on the gender war, because we've written
extensively about it.
And this book is great. And I'll tell you what I like about the gender war section in the book. It tricks you. It tricks your mind. It tricks you so you can start to demonstrate to yourself your internalized standards. So if you haven't read it, or you haven't read it in a while, pick it up and get it. It's really quite wonderful. It's more in-depth than we can do in this hour today. I just want to go back again to say, don't think of the gender war as bad. It just is. We have a caller. Shall we take him?
Oh, yes. Joe, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Ariel and Shia.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the East Bronx, I believe. I'm parked on the side of the road. I pulled over so I could chat with you guys.
Oh, how nice.
That's very nice. Thank you.
Well, thank you. You know, just in listening to you all, I feel like my inner level of peace and well-being has come back. Like, I didn't even know it was gone. It just didn't appear. You know, it just feels really good.
That's fun.
Yeah. And I'm going to read your book again, because I've read it before and it's been really great. But, yeah, I'm sure I could get more out of it going back. And my question is that...
Well, don't go back. Go new. I know you have your question. You got to ask your question. You said, I'm sure I can get more out of it going back, as in going back to it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The thing is, when I was just looking at it today, when we wrote it, this stuff was new. So I think if you just give you a slightly different twist on rereading it. So your question, sir.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm married to a really brilliant woman who gives me so much, and I have been finding lately that I think I'm listening to her, and a lot of times I'm not really listening, and I think that I realize that, because I can tell when she feels heard. You know what I mean?
So like, what's the question?
The question is, how to know when I'm really listening?
Well,
how to really listen if I'm not quite there yet?
Well, you're never not quite there. You're either listening or you're not listening. The light is either on or it's off. You can't half listen.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people think they can, but the reality of listening, Joe, is like a light switch. No rheostat. It's either on or off. If you are listening, you drop what you're thinking about and put your full attention on what your wife is saying, or anybody else for that matter.
Okay.
So listening isn't a passive act. It is a proactive, intentional recreation of what the other person is saying. So if she says, I like the beach on rainy days, then you hear she likes the beach on rainy days, even if you like the beach on sunny days.
Okay.
See, because what can happen is, you, in your thoughts, you'll go, well, what's wrong with you? I mean, really, the only time to be on the beach is on sunny days.
Or, shoot, I wanted to go this Saturday, and it's looking like it's supposed to be sunny, and so your agenda will get between you and hearing. I think one of the things for you, Joe, is that you haven't had an active interest in where you go and how you go.
Go, you mean get lost in your thoughts?
Absolutely.
Because when you say that, it's a little unclear.
If his wife is speaking to him,
right,
and he finds himself off thinking about something else and he's not really hearing her, there became a departure point where he left the conversation.
Or other possibility. She's not clear about what she wants to say, so she's filling the space with words and not really being there. I hear a strange sound in the background.
I don't know if it's going through.
I don't either. But in any event, if I notice that if I'm really listening, I don't get lost in my thoughts. I don't go away. I don't start looking on the computer to see what's happening in the world.
But if she's not clear, and you, then you find yourself off thinking, you haven't. See, you hold this I don't hear thing as a problem rather than seeing how you're triggerable. And the triggerable may be that you follow a tangent as how it relates to you. It may be that your wife has a moment of unclarity. It may be that she hasn't got your full attention before she starts.
And you're still in the midst of a previous thought.
Okay.
So, but you see, look, the first thing is, Joe, you need to start being kind to yourself. You can't look at this thing as though you're going to find something wrong with you. Nothing's wrong. You just operate the way you do. Our approach is anthropological. It's not good or bad. You notice the way you're functioning, and that's enough to have it lose its power over your life, to bring yourself back. You can bring yourself back to the current moment. And it's about letting go of what you're thinking of and bring yourself to where the action is, which is right in front of you right now.
Okay, that's very cool. Yes, because I think I'm doing something wrong if I'm not, if I think I haven't heard or been really listening. So thank you.
Right. And here's the other thing. Where did you learn to listen?
Where?
Yeah.
Where
did you learn to speak the English language?
Oh, yeah. Well, in my family.
Yeah. Well, how many people there listen? One.
No one that I know.
Right. And two, how prevalent is the gender war in your family?
Yeah, it's up there at about, up there at about 20 out of 10.
Now,
good.
If that's the case, so you've got a few handicaps to overcome in your relationship because you've been pre-programmed by a gender-specific battle that's been going on.
Uh-huh.
I have a question for you, Shia. Joe comes to our courses, so we know the individual that we're speaking to.
Right.
And I remember there was a night where I played a game with him where if I saw him nodding off, as in not listening, as in following a thought,
right,
I just said thought. And I told everybody in the room that we were going to be doing this because Joe sometimes leaves in his thoughts.
Right.
I'm wondering, do you notice him doing that as much as I do?
No, I do not. I absolutely do not. I mean, yeah.
I'm telling you, Joe, this is something that developed gender-specific in your family.
Right.
I never thought to ask Shia that before because I often see you nodding off.
But I hardly ever see it. It isn't directed at me. It's directed at you.
And if I'm an archetype, as in a woman, not as in the individual Ariel, and as your wife is not the individual your wife, but rather representative of your internalized relationship to female, the place to start looking is how it's wired.
How you interact with women without making yourself wrong.
That's so cool.
That's the big thing. Yeah, it is cool. You got to be kind to yourself with this one. As you see it, that's enough for it to dissolve. If you just notice, I did that. Look at that. I said that. Look at that. I wasn't listening to her. Look at that. And it's not like you're bad. It's like, oh, look at that. Hey, wow, I did that. You know, our approach is what we call the Slackjaw School of Enlightenment. You see something about yourself, you go, huh, I did that. Rather than, oh, that was bad. Gotta not do that again in the future. Gotta correct. Gotta work that one out so I don't do that again.
You know, Joe, being a, quote, yes, being a yes to your wife does not make you henpecked. It doesn't make you dominated or a doormat. It doesn't, my listening to Shia doesn't make me dominated or I'm not losing something of myself. After the intimacy course that we did in New York City back in June, somebody called us, a man called us, and he had come to the course, his wife had not, and he called us and said, I'm so excited. I cannot believe my relationship with my wife today. She called and asked me for things, and I was a yes, and I realized how much automatically there was attitude and a no that I hadn't seen before. And it wasn't that I thought to be a yes, I just noticed that I wanted to do things for her without dragging my feet. So when she called up and said, I know you dropped my prescription off today, but can you pick it up? He said, no problem. And there was almost a quality of being shocked in her and a relaxation and a relief, because when they got together, love each other as they might, their cultural background overlaid their ability to be intimate with each other. And I know that you have that, and it's not a bad thing. It's an is thing. That's why we talk about transformation and anthropological approach. It's about getting interested in what is.
And how you relate to life, how you relate to people, how you function. If you see it, it doesn't do it automatically, then you have some say in your own life. If you don't see it, you keep acting out. You know, you get reactivated by life, and then you respond, and you re-stimulate that reactivation, and you become a stimulus-response-reactivation machine, and there's absolutely no Joe there.
Speaking of Joe,
okay, yeah,
we have to go to a break, Mr. Joe. Can you come back with us?
Yes, I'd love to. Thank you.
Excellent. We'll be right back. Come on back, and don't miss being here.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Success, health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books like How to Create a Magical Relationship, winner of the Nautilus Book Award, Being Here, a collection of stories that inspire, amuse, entertain, and enlighten the soul, or their groundbreaking Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, the three simple ideas that will instantaneously transform your life. These important books will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. And attend the Kane's fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Kane's books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. Why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting TransformationMadeEasy.com. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and founder of Rock and Roll Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to the Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time here on News Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here. Joe, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
It occurred to me that when you first called into the show, you said that you suddenly were more relaxed and that you hadn't realized that you had lost that essential peace feeling, that you felt more centered just calling in and listening.
Right.
It occurs to me that if you really want things to be easier between you and your wife, you need to have them be easier between you and you. And I know we say it often, but it's really about being kind to yourself. And not working, trying to get ahead and be better and be a better you.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm pretty critical if I'm not doing something the way I think I should be or whatever is not happening the way I think it should.
You're even critical when you are doing things the way you think you should be.
Okay.
And you think it's you being critical rather than a recording, a compilation. It's like you have a very sophisticated iPod in your brain, and it's called I, Joe. And you think it's you. You think it's I. I love this thing, the iPod, the iPhone, the I, whatever. You think it's you. It's not you. It's just a compilation of all the songs you've ever heard over time. So you
cool.
think it's you being critical, and you take it seriously.
Okay, right. That's true. That's so true, and I don't need to.
That's well. You
unless you do.
You do as long as you're doing it.
And then don't be hard on yourself for doing it, because you can only be the way you are.
See, you're still trying to not be the way you are rather than be the way you are.
And then you'll apply that to her.
See, you have to ride the horse in the direction it's going.
Cool.
To
I
get
like
control
that.
Of the horse.
Okay.
Hey, Joe, thanks for calling in today. It's really been a pleasure having you.
Yeah, really, Joe. Thank you.
Great.
Bye.
Thank you for talking to me. Thank you.
You're welcome. Excellent. You know, your mind conjures pictures from your past, from your knowledge base. So if I were to talk to you about my friend Amy and her experience with her plumber, Amy had a leaky sink, and she went to, she called the plumber, and the plumber came over. And when the plumber went to fix the problem,
she said
to Amy, now, I
didn't. How many of you thought the plumber was a man?
I bet you a bunch of you did.
Probably all of you. Because most of us do not expect the plumber to be a woman.
So your mind makes gender assumptions. You can have fun with this. You can have a sense of humor.
I always smile when I hear somebody talking about their doctor and it's a woman. And I, even though more women are doctors now than in medical schools, the predominancy is women more than men. There are more than 50% of the medical schools are going to be producing women doctors. It doesn't matter. My mind is still the only doctors when I was growing up were men.
I called down to our post office recently, and because they keep forwarding our mail elsewhere. I can't seem to get the mail forwarding stopped. So after having gone in and talked to different postal people, I figured I better call up the postmaster. And as I was about to ask for the postmaster, it occurred to me, I said, is the postmaster or postmistress there? And they said, yes. And her name is Nancy. And it was very neat that it occurred to me it could be either gender. We have another caller on. Heidi, are you there?
I am here, Ariel and Shia. Hello.
Hi. Where are you calling in from?
I'm actually calling from a hallway in my office.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Are you at the United Nations today?
I am at the United Nations.
Excellent. Well, I salute you for your service.
Thank you very much.
We.
We.
Ah, okay. Thank you. Yes. Actually, this subject is very, it makes me think an awful lot about how possibly I was watching my mother and my father in their gender war. Possibly I decided, you know, when I was going to get married in my younger years that I wasn't going to be like her.
That's right.
And so I went ahead and was whoever I was during my marriage of 10 years. And I felt that I was very giving. And when, you know, my husband at the time, he was doing his master's, and then I wanted to do my master's. And when he was doing his master's, food was always ready, house was always clean. But when it was my turn to do my master's, he was not willing to do any of that. And I ended up both doing my master's, working, and having to do all that when I came home.
Mm.
So.
Well, you married a real man. With all the ideas of what men are supposed to do, what's men's work and what's women's work.
Somehow I did.
Yeah, well, look, Heidi, you didn't make a mistake. You didn't make any mistake.
No, I don't think I did. No.
No, you chose somebody who fit in with your idea of life at that time, however many years ago you got married.
That's right.
And if you were to do it again, I think you'd do it very differently now.
I would, definitely. And actually, this weekend, I spent time with some girlfriends that have their boyfriends, and I was actually surprised at hearing what nice exchange they were having. And whenever the man said something, I would have a rise in me, and then I was so surprised that the women were so able to dissolve it and not get involved or get insulted. That was my first reaction. I was like, I felt attacked. And I would have said this, I would have done, and I was like so surprised at myself watching how I was reacting.
Well, it's interesting, even what you're saying now, you are in awe that they were able to dissolve it. But what if there was nothing to dissolve?
Right, because
exactly.
you had a reaction to what they said, but did these ladies, maybe that's why they have relationship with their men.
Exactly.
Because
They're
not pre-offended. They're not looking to offend themselves and find good justifications for being upset with this man.
And that was the realization I had this weekend.
That's very neat.
That was amazing. It was like, wow, look at that.
You know, I'd like to go back to your ex-husband for a moment. What was his first name?
Al.
Al. You know, it's interesting. When you said you supported him in his master's and then it was your turn, that's often a pitfall in a relationship, this tit-for-tat thing where there's the expectation, I'm going to do this for you, and then, but then you better do it for me. So it's like the energetic demand that he does it back can actually support him in not making a meal for you or not supporting you in the way you want to support, because it's a type of energetic demand.
I don't think to be truthful, I wonder if we ever discussed it verbally or whether it was an assumption on my part.
It probably was an assumption on your part because, you know, just like you responded to boyfriends of your girlfriends that you spent the weekend with, that you had a rise happen in you and they didn't in them, well, it wasn't something they were overcoming. They just didn't get reactivated by it.
Mm-hmm.
And now,
yes.
Look, Heidi, we've known you for a while. You know, you've attended workshops. You've come to Costa Rica with us. And you have accomplished so much in unwiring your fiery nature. You're easily
that is
to get up.
That is so true.
Now you're passionate. You're not like fiery, like as if the world is carrying around matches.
Now I'm able to see it. I'm able to watch it happening, and it's just amazing.
Right. The only thing is, my dear, you have to keep surrendering to the idea that you're not doing anything wrong by having that reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as you're trying to change it, you fall mm-hmm. back into the first principle, and then it sticks around.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if you consider it bad or wrong that you get fiery when a man says something, then it will stick around. If you notice it, just see it, go, oh, yeah, there it is, then it's over. Get interested in how much you're in disagreement with the way men show up around you.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe for women, too, because...
Well, she looked pretty hard at women for a while. So,
right.
You know, then what happens is... It's like you've cleaned up so much of your room, and what's left outstanding are areas you haven't looked at.
Doesn't mean that the room is dirty. It just means that you've got spots to take care of yet.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We have to go to a break, Heidi. Can you come back with us?
Well, I am just afraid that my battery and will not last.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. We don't want you getting charged.
We don't want you dead.
No, we want your battery dead. We want you to be a live wire.
Hey, thank you
absolutely.
So much for calling in
yes,
today.
Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your day at the United Nations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And all of you will be back shortly. Come on back.
And
don't miss being here.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Kane's online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. That's transformationmadeeasy.com, the Excellence Club. Are you a wow? A wise, outrageous woman of a certain age who wants thrilling work, vibrant health, joyful relationships, financial freedom, and the new F word, fun, in the next stage of life? Join host Lynn Schreiber in the Wow Zone each week, where you'll meet amazing women who are creating lives filled with passion, purpose, and pizzazz. In the Wow Zone, broadcast live every Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Anything is possible.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here. Hey, if you are in the London area Friday night, we're at the London College of Spirituality meetup group. This is the 23rd if you are listening to this live, because sometimes people listen to this archive. And just another reminder, we're back in New York City for Monday Night Alive, this Monday, the 26th. And the international conference call is on Tuesday.
The 27th.
And then, in New York City, our weekend workshop.
Creativity and Intuition.
It's the 30th, 31st, and August 1st. It's going, I intuit.
It is going to be fabulous.
It will be. You're invited. We have another caller. Shall we take her?
Yes.
Lenora, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
And you are calling from?
I'm calling from the Bronx.
Excellent.
The Bronx.
It's a Bronx kind of day.
The Bronx, yes. And I have been listening to the show, And my husband had called earlier, actually, and it was lovely to hear him. And it's going to be a call because I wanted to ask you about surrender. I've heard about it before, and I think I understand, but I think I miss the point sometimes.
Well, most people do not know how to surrender to their life and how it's showing up. See, surrender is when you say yes to what your life asks of you, and you do it as though it's your idea, and in advance, you agree to have it be wonderful.
So I have a suspicion when you're asking the question, you've narrowed surrender down to how to be with Joe. But what Shia was just telling you, Lenore, was the wider picture, how people disagree with how their life is showing up. And we saw it recently with you in when you were having digestive problems, there were possible foods that might have been leading toward you not feeling so well.
Right.
But you had a mini temper tantrum fight within yourself because you didn't want to surrender to the fact that those things might be what are making you ill.
Right. Those things might affect your body in ways that don't support you.
Because then the consequence to surrendering to that fact is that it's a logical assumption that you probably shouldn't eat those things.
Right.
But you wanna.
Yeah, and most of us fall into a category that I call succumb rather than surrender. Succumb is when you do what's requested of you, but then you victimize yourself with it. You are you go along with it, but you don't feel good about it. You're complaining to yourself that you have to do it. You're, oh, he wants to go to that restaurant. Well, okay, I'll go, but I won't enjoy the meal.
You know, we recently were given by a book by a lady who just got it published by a big publisher, and it was basically a book on how to fight more effectively with your partner and how to make them listen to you even if they don't want to. And there's in surrender, it's about giving up being right. And I often find that one of the things that happens, that I see happen a lot in couples, is that they don't recognize being right is so costly. So if Shai and I, for instance, in a simple manner, we're sitting down in the evening to watch television, and one of the things that we like to do is we like to pre-record things so we can fast-forward through the commercials. And if we sit down, we have a whole list of categories of types of shows, whether it's something that's a reality show like American Idol or America's Got Talent, or it's a drama or a series. Chances are one of us will have a stronger preference than the other on any given evening about what we want to watch. And it's not like what we were discussing with Heidi. It's not like, well, it was my turn tonight, so I don't care what you want to watch. It's my turn to pick the show. It's more about that relaxation where we give up nonsensical, and it sometimes doesn't feel nonsensical to most people, gotta have it my way.
Yeah. I think that I do that. I think
Well, Lenore, if you did that, we wouldn't be having this conversation, would we?
What's the that that you do?
I think that I'm being I kind of lost my train of thought because when you
so
said
is
that,
the that that you're doing that you are giving up or that you're having a mini temper tantrum?
Well, I actually have done both of those. I think, you're right. Okay, I just got the idea about succumbing. I do succumb more than surrender. Because
right.
I think I'm going to let him have his way. I'm going to enjoy it.
But that's succumb. If you're having that conversation, that's succumb.
Yeah.
That isn't surrender. Surrender is, you want to do that? Okay.
You did that very well. It wasn't just in the tonality. Check out your words. Okay, I'm going to let him have his way.
Right.
Rather than like, okay, great, I'd love to watch that show. I want to watch that. And that's not just words. It's words that are bespeaking intent.
No, words that are bespeaking your prejudiced programming.
Right.
Your earliest programming is that you're proving yourself to be equal or better than a man.
Yeah.
As though there's a better to be a woman than a man, and you're going to be the better man woman.
Yeah.
See, I'm going to repeat that again for all those people who hated hearing that from Shia. You're trying to be more than equal. You don't want to just be equal. You want to be better than equal. So you're trying to be a better woman, man. I'll tell you something else. Feminists are not, in general, looking for equality. They are looking for dominance in reaction to having been dominated.
I went to a women's college.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it spurred quite a little fight when I got some alumni information sent to the house, and I said something about the school, and there was a strike at one point because we didn't want to have men come to the school, and I was defending it. I found myself defending that it should be, that it was right to not have men there, and on a level, I understood that it's not a place I wanted to defend. At the same time, I felt like I almost couldn't control myself.
I understand why Joe checks out. I don't feel you necessarily get a clear picture of what you want to say and make sure that you're communicating it across time and space. I'm watching Chai's eyes kind of glaze, and I'm having a hard time following you.
Okay.
And we do that. We do pretty good at following, you know?
I mean, we're professional followers.
We listen to hear what another is saying, so we drop everything. We drop our point of view. We drop our agenda. We get there to hear what they say because that's what we are paid to do, basically, is hear what people are saying to us.
I don't think you've caught that yet. I certainly had it. When you just said this, I realized that every time we stop and listen to somebody, we're basically surrendering. That every show we talk about listening to another person's perspective, it basically we could say AKA or also known as surrender. Because when you let go of your point of view and perspective to hear what another person is saying from their perspective, you're not holding on to any agenda of your own.
You're not holding on to any thoughts that you want to speak about afterward. You're not trying to make it go in a certain way. You're just surrendered to your life and what your life is requesting of you in that moment if you're really listening, and that's enlightenment.
And your lists of to-dos go away, and your lists of what you did for him and what he did for you go away, and you're just there. And then there's always an authentic response if something that's suggested isn't something you really want to do. You should get really interested when you feel you have to defend something.
Yeah.
We're less than a minute from close, but I have to tell you that somebody recently told me one of the most fantastic things they'd ever seen in their entire life was you at the end of the intimacy workshop, finally surrendering to what people were talking to you about, and you just said, I got it. You know what? You're right. I'll handle it. It's handled. That you didn't fight what you knew to be true was one of the most demonstrable, wonderful things they'd ever seen in their life. And I think that when you are defending something, bells should go off in your head. And with that,
we're going to say it's time to go. Time to say goodbye.
We really appreciated your calling in today,
yeah,
Lenore. You did a great
really
service for people. Really.
Hey,
thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back next week, and you come on back too.
And please don't miss
being here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.